1390 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Day 13 of the government shutdown, no end in sight. Democrats want a conversation with Republicans about extending health care tax credits, part of the Affordable Care Act that would expire at the end of the year. Republicans say they won't until Senate Democrats vote yes on their government funding bill. At the Capitol today, House Speaker Mike Johnson says Obamacare should undergo an overhaul.
It was really sinister the way, in my view, the way it was created. I believe Obamacare was created to implode upon itself, to collapse upon itself.
North Carolina Governor Josh Stein announced today that the state's medical debt relief program has relieved more than $6.5 billion in medical debt in the last year. The initiative relieves existing medical debt and prevents the accumulation of more for 2.5 million plus North Carolinians. Governor Stein.
Medical debt is a tremendous burden that keeps families from financial security and emotional and physical well-being.
This is ABC News. The number of measles cases continues to rise in the United States.
There were 16 measles outbreaks last year in the U.S. This year, there are already 44. The U.S. has already reported the most measles cases this year since 1992. This comes as MMR vaccination rates drop, and now at least 153 students at two schools in Spartanburg County, South Carolina, are under quarantine for 21 days. There are at least 8 measles cases and an outbreak there, and these students are not vaccinated. Brian Clark, ABC News.
A California engineer and hobby gardener has won the top prize in the 52nd World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off in Half Moon Bay. Brandon Dawson of Santa Rosa, California, winning with a jack-o'-lantern gourd weighing more than 2,300 pounds. Dawson says he's been growing giant pumpkins for 5 years, using his engineering skills to help get the right water and sunlight to grow his gourds. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers meet for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series at AmFam Field. The last time the Brewers made it this far was in 2018, when they lost in 7 games to this same Dodgers team. The Dodgers then advanced to the World Series, but lost to the Boston Red Sox in 5. College football. The Badgers, with another poor performance, losing 37-0 on homecoming to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Badgers head coach Luke Fickle.
Fall camp, I would tell you that we were in a better place. No, we're not better than most of the people or maybe anybody right now that we're playing.
NFL, the Packers over the Bengals, 27-18. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs led with 5 receptions, 18 carries for a total of 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, even though he had the flu.
I really don't know where it came from. Just kind of woke up this morning just not feeling my best. I told him, I said last time that I felt that way, I had 130 and 2 touchdowns. So it is what it is.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a shower or two possible as well, and cooler, a high in the low 60s. Wednesday looks mostly cloudy with a few sunny breaks and a high pretty close to 60, currently 51 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
What's up with all the MAGAs claiming that they're such great Christians and claiming that America was founded as a Christian nation? I debunk all of these myths starting at 5 o'clock. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Jane says. Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Gavin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up today, Sholly Pittman, Civic Media's news director, going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. Going to talk a little bit more about the data centers in Wisconsin. One has just been rejected in Mount Pleasant. Another one in Port Washington, getting some late pushback.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll have an update with Sholly Pittman, see where we are with that. And it's kind of interesting. There are more data centers in Wisconsin, I think, than folks realize.
It's definitely, and we've talked about this before, it is definitely the new thing that's being pushed in this state. And there's lobbying for it heavily. I've heard it on the radio. And they want to make Wisconsin a hub because of our land, our access to water.
It's water.
We are next to not just a great lake, a fantastic lake. But they want that. And we'll get more into this, but I'll just say this. I personally don't have a problem with data centers as long as we are doing it responsibly that does not take too much from our natural resources and from the people and doesn't sock them with the bill.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. In hour number two, we're going to talk to Democrats Abroad. This is an organization that has been on the show before. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to talk to the vice chair of Democrats Abroad.
What's their name?
His name is George King IV.
Oh, I love it.
I had to look at it like five times because I thought it was King George IV.
Yeah.
Originally, it's like, wow.
Talk to a child.
William and Kate's son is taken to the airwaves early. George King IV is the vice chair of Democrats Abroad. We're going to talk to him after the 10 o'clock news. I'm very curious what the view is from overseas as to what is going on here in the United States and whether or not there are concerns from Democrats Abroad about going forward. There has certainly been a lot of discussion. You know, Republicans want to get rid of mail-in voting. That would affect a whole bunch of people.
Yes.
Americans. Who live overseas.
Yep.
So we'll talk to George about that in hour number two. We will lighten it up for the last half an hour of the show. Audio sorbet after 10:30, where we take a breath, get away from the news. Videos.
Yeah.
You can watch for hours. Yeah.
Whether they're specific or if it's like a subsection of them, like I love watching lawn care videos, or if there's just like there is a video of them. I just saw one today of them like getting rid of the mange and the hair of, I think it was a mastiff. Like this thing had the longest hair, like it was dreaded. And when it was done, so cute. But yeah, I love these videos.
Okay. We're going to talk about videos you have to watch more than once, mm-hmm. videos you can watch for hours.
Videos you send to everybody.
Yes, whether they want them or not. Yeah. That's coming up at 10:30, and then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Run for the Border, literally, edition. Stay tuned for that. We do have some exciting baseball news.
Brewers start the NLCS tonight against the Dodgers at American Family yes. Field this evening. It's one of seven games, possibly seven games. We'll see. I've gone back into my mode of being terminally sick to my stomach.
Just a mixture of hope and dread.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hope and dread.
Dread generally wins, though. The hope usually comes around the top of the ninth when we're ahead 38-4, and there's two outs. That's where I start to feel
good. Feeling good.
Yeah, I'm feeling great about their chances. Yeah.
Tonight, game one, Dodgers at the Brewers. Our broadcast will start at 6:30. You cannot listen on the stream. You do have to listen on terrestrial radio. So you can listen to the game live tonight. Again, our broadcast starts at 6:30 on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, WBZH in Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. And Brewers hosting the Dodgers tonight at 6:30. Go Crew.
Go Crew. And you know what? I'll say this, too. Thank you, Cubs, for a great series.
That's
Thank you very much.
Very nice of
yes,
you.
Yes, that's all. And yes.
I'm
and
just going to leave it at that.
And I mean that. I'm not being snark. I'm not being... I truly mean it. It was a great series. Fought to the very end. There you go.
That's how to be a gracious winner.
Thank you.
Cubs fans.
Thank you. Thank you for undercutting my moment there.
Lesson on gracious losing, but we won't go there right now.
Everyone was expecting me to say that, and Jane said that. Let the record state and show and be carved into the annals of history. I was the good guy this time.
Yeah. Sorry, Cubs fans. You lost fair and square. Get over it. Okay. Yeah. More cuts are coming to Wisconsin under the Trump administration, and it affects everyone.
Yes.
Not just people who voted one way or another. It's kind of shocking. This from the Wisconsin Examiner, Eric Gunn, has the byline. Wisconsin could lose $130 million as the Energy Department targets grants that were awarded under President Biden. Trump administration wants to cut up to $24 billion in projects that were originally okayed by the Biden administration. Yeah. Wisconsin, the grants on the list are a mix of projects helping to boost energy efficiency, including supporting expanding battery storage, which is important.
Yes.
One potential casualty, more than $1 million to help prepare young people to enter apprenticeships. We've heard about this so much, especially from members of the Trump administration, where college is a waste. Don't go to college.
Yeah.
Go into the trades. Do something else. Don't go to college. Well, we had programs in place to help prepare young people to get into apprenticeships so they could go into the trades. And now we're talking about slashing it.
Not surprised. If you know me, you know that I am the product of an apprenticeship program. I very much believe in them. I believe in higher education, whatever form that takes. If it's something requiring 4 years of college, great. Go for it. That's what you need to do. Do it. But if that isn't your path, tech schools, vocational schools, apprenticeship programs, getting into the trades, those specifically are just unfireable. Well, I shouldn't say unfireable jobs. You can get fired. They can take away your training. You are marketable when you have these types of skills.
And you can take those skills everywhere.
And they cannot export those jobs. Those jobs have to be done here because you're doing the real work in people's homes and on construction sites, cutting hair, whatever it is. But we should be fostering this. We should be financing it. It should be investment programs into this to get people through these programs. But no, they're going to cut them because that's what they do.
Well, rich people need their tax break. That's what all these cuts are for.
Yeah.
Let's not forget. ultimately, this is about tax breaks for the ultra wealthy.
Yes.
That is why we need all of these other cuts to offset the big gift that they're being given.
By the way.
Yeah. The two largest Wisconsin projects on this list involve Alliant Energy. One is a $50 million grant to upgrade the rural electrical grid. Upgrading the rural electrical grid. $50 million for that. That's important.
Yes.
For our rural communities.
Yes.
Also cutting $30 million for a power storage system to be built near Portage. The electrical grid upgrade project did get a conditional commitment in December, but the final award agreement has not been executed so far. No federal monies have been received or spent.
Mm. Again, I'm not shocked by any of this. I'm not surprised by any of this. And once again, our rural folks are going to take a hit, another hit. I mean, we've been talking about this nonstop, whether we're talking about the cuts to public broadcasting that will take away certain avenues of information from the rural area.
Hospitals.
We're talking about that. We're talking about upgrading the grid. I mean, and it's all for the billionaires, by the way. There's no, and anytime someone says, why are they doing this? If it comes to cutting funding, programs, anything, if anyone ever says to you, I don't understand why they're doing that, always know you can answer with this. It's for the billionaires.
Exactly.
It's always for the billionaires. They have put – these individuals have put the – because they are the billionaires. They have put these individuals over us now for – I mean the umpteenth time. It's not exactly like all of a sudden America started not caring about
favoring
the working class.
Right.
It's been like this for a long time. But it's now it is so egregious and so blatant and so just in our face without an apology that – I don't understand how anyone can stand behind this. And when people like Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, gets on television and says things like, you know, we wanted just a clean bill to fund the government. Well, no, you don't. You want to take – this is just another step towards taking away everything. When Democrats are trying to stand up to keep the health care accessible and you're saying it's us giving money to undocumented folks, it's all – about convolution and all about blurring the narrative. The narrative is always going to be about giving the billionaires money, period, done. Your money becomes their money.
Well, it's pretty much their money anyway. A grant for the city of Kaukauna to install battery storage and also make electrical grid upgrades. Also on the list to get cut. The original grant was worth $3 million. So far, about $60,000 has been spent, has been paid out, rather, leaving almost $3 million that could still be canceled.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Again, tell me why this works. Tell me why this makes America win. Tell me why this is a good move from the White House. I need you to make me understand why this makes us win.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join the conversation. Gene from Eau Claire on the line. Gene, we don't have a lot of time left, but go ahead. Thanks for joining us. What'd you want to say?
Okay, now this is my opinion. From watching everything, I do not believe that Trump wants to make America great. I think he wants to destroy it, and everybody who didn't vote for him, he lost last election, and there's other things too. Why is he going after, you know, he's hurting us internally, externally. Where is all the money going? We're supposed to have all this money from tariffs. In addition to that, why is this airport, I'm not sure all the specifics on it, from Qatar going into Idaho. This just makes me sick, guys. I hope people are paying attention. This guy is so dangerous. He's hurting every aspect of our country, and I hope everybody gets out there paying attention who's running. We got to vote these people out.
Yeah.
It is sick. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry to say that this morning, but watch what's going on, folks.
Yeah.
You have to. Bye-bye.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it, Gene. Thank you.
Not wrong. MyVote.wi.gov. Look up who represents you. Tell them what you're thinking. Tell them what you want out of your leaders. Myvote.wi.gov.
And if you're looking for like-minded people, No Kings protests are set for this coming Saturday.
Yes.
Across the country. From what the Republicans said, it's going to be full of Marxists, socialists, communists, feminists. So I don't know if you want to go to that or not, but I'm just...
And George Soros will be there.
And he'll be there personally handing out checks. Oh, good. When we return, George Stephanopoulos shows how it's done.
More like Stephanopoulos, are you right?
Oh, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us for a little recap. We're going to focus a little bit more on those data centers, the one in Mount Pleasant that was just rejected, and now there is some late opposition to one that looks like it's pretty much going forward in Port Washington. So we will talk with Sholly about that coming up. Right now, though, I don't know if you watch much Sunday morning television, all the Sunday morning talking heads.
It depends on which one you're talking about, and it depends on who is on. Sometimes you're more interested than others. But, yeah, I am looking forward to this little moment here.
George Stephanopoulos had on Vice President J.D. Vance yesterday, and he was asking him about border czar Tom Homan.
Why, now, Jane?
For those of you who may be unaware, there was an undercover FBI sting carried out in September of 2024. Members of the FBI were posing as business people who allegedly gave Tom Homan a bag with $50,000 in cash in a fast food bag after Tom Homan helped to get them government contracts if Trump won the election. The White House has denied this. Homan himself has denied any illegal conduct, but it's never been clear on did he take the money? Did he give the money back? It's on tape.
Yeah.
It's on tape.
Yes.
Of course, when Trump came in, he closed the case. But here's the exchange yesterday between George Stephanopoulos and Vice President J.D. Vance about these allegations against border czar Tom Homan. Calvin, please.
So you don't, what was caught on the tape, you're saying right now you don't know whether or not he kept that money.
I don't know what tape you're referring to, George. I saw media reports that Tom Homan accepted a bribe. There's no evidence of that. And here's, George, why fewer and fewer people watch your program and why you're losing credibility. Because you're talking for now 5 minutes with the Vice President of the United States about this story regarding Tom Homan, a story that I've read about, but I don't even know the video that you're talking about. Meanwhile, low-income women can't get food because the Democrats and Chuck Schumer have shut down the government.
That's good that
right now, we're trying to figure out how to pay our troops because Chuck Schumer has shut down the government.
No,
you're focused on a bogus story. You're insinuating criminal wrongdoing against a guy who has done nothing wrong instead of focusing on the fact that our country is struggling because our government's shut down. Let's talk about the real issues, George. I think the American people would benefit much more from that than from you going down some weird left-wing rabbit hole where the fact clearly show that Tom Homan didn't engage in any criminal wrongdoing.
Wait.
It's not a weird left-wing rabbit hole. I didn't insinuate anything. I asked you whether Tom Homan accepted $50,000, as was heard on an audio tape recorded by the FBI in September 2024, and you did not answer the question. Thank you for your time this morning.
No, well, George, I said that I don't.
Up next, we'll be right back.
Yeah, bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That is how you do it. The Vice President of the United States, which, by the way, when he goes, you're talking to the Vice President of the United States. Yeah. C-list celebrity at best. Second of all, when you're lying, there are consequences, and he is not owed that microphone, and you take it away when he's abusing the privilege. And that's what that was. It was a privilege. And once again, that man, the new mouthpiece of the Trump administration, if you ask me, because I don't know in your history, Jane, have you ever seen the vice president so visible on television?
Oh, no.
He is everywhere. He's, because the vice president doesn't have much of a job. And I'm not being, I'm seriously, they have as much responsibility as they want. And he has chosen to be the on-air press secretary of the Trump administration.
Pretty much.
When you lie like that, you take away the lollipop. And that's what George Stephanopoulos did. And that little moment, as I said to you earlier, is how you start.
It's a great beginning.
Yep.
It is.
Yep.
Again, he won't answer the question. He's doing nothing but obfuscate.
He's lying through his teeth.
Well, and again, and there's more to the exchange, but he's talking about, well, I'm sure Tom Homan has accepted, you know, he's a businessman, so sure he's accepted $50,000. Wait. It's just the tap dancing involved in this.
Yeah.
Is pretty amazing.
I'm sure he's accepted $50,000 in bags before. But the point is, we're talking about this moment, and you know about the video, and you know about the story, and it's not a left-wing rabbit hole. It is actually about a person giving favoritism to a group while on camera, or I should say promising favoritism.
Getting bribes for favors.
Exactly.
Getting bribes for favors, which, I don't know, under previous administrations, used to be a crime. It used to be.
And also,
you didn't do that.
Let's just try to imagine a world where a prominent Democrat, let's say one in New Jersey, who accepted money and gold. What should happen? Oh, that's right. He left office and he's in jail now.
Because the Democrats demanded it.
Yes. Yes.
We're talking about Gold Bar Bob Menendez.
And his wife, too, is held liable and responsible as well.
Being held responsible for their own actions. What a terrible thing.
When Democrats do things wrong, we take action, folks, because it's disgusting and they're liberal and awful. Tom Homan, who doesn't like a bag full of cash?
Exactly. It was only $50,000. Come on.
I find that stuff in my couch cushions.
Who doesn't get that in a Burger King bag? We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. They came up the money, this is what he said.
and OG are gonna make some cash. Sell a million records and we're making the dash. Oh, I'm buzzing the club.
This is how we do it.
Sounds and truth dancing like nobody does.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Day 13 of the government shutdown, no end in sight. Democrats want a conversation with Republicans about extending health care tax credits, part of the Affordable Care Act that would expire at the end of the year. Republicans say they won't until Senate Democrats vote yes on their government funding bill. At the Capitol today, House Speaker Mike Johnson says Obamacare should undergo an overhaul.
It was really sinister the way, in my view, the way it was created. I believe Obamacare was created to implode upon itself, to collapse upon itself.
North Carolina Governor Josh Stein announced today that the state's medical debt relief program has relieved more than $6.5 billion in medical debt in the last year. The initiative relieves existing medical debt and prevents the accumulation of more for 2.5 million plus North Carolinians. Governor Stein.
Medical debt is a tremendous burden that keeps families from financial security and emotional and physical well-being.
This is ABC News.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers meet for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series at AmFam Field. The last time the Brewers made it this far was in 2018, when they lost in 7 games to this same Dodgers team. The Dodgers then advanced to the World Series, but lost to the Boston Red Sox in 5. College football. The Badgers, with another poor performance, losing 37-0 on homecoming to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Badgers head coach Luke Fickle.
Fall camp, I would tell you that we were in a better place. No, we're not better than most of the people or maybe anybody right now that we're playing.
NFL, the Packers over the Bengals, 27-18. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs led with 5 receptions, 18 carries for a total of 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, even though he had the flu.
I really don't know where it came from. Just kind of woke up this morning just not feeling my best. I told him, I said last time that I felt that way, I had 130 and 2 touchdowns. So it is what it is.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Another Hollywood icon, Diane Keaton, passed away on Saturday. Diane Keaton got her start in theater. Her Broadway debut was Hair, and she received a Tony nomination for her performance in Play It Again, Sam. Keaton was a major part of the new Hollywood movement, benefiting from directors having more creative control than studios. A perfect example was her role in Woody Allen's Annie Hall. Allen wrote the part based on Keaton, and she won a Golden Globe and an Oscar. If you remember, Annie's character was from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Keaton was also one of Francis Ford Coppola's favorites, as he cast her as Kay Corleone, Michael's wife in all 3 Godfathers. Keaton never married, but often dated her co-stars like Warren Beatty, Woody Allen, and Al Pacino, and says she was happy she remained single. She was a mother to 2 adopted children, Dexter and Duke. Diane Keaton passed away on October 11th. She was 79 years old. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a shower or two possible as well, and cooler, a high in the low 60s. Wednesday looks mostly cloudy, with a few sunny breaks and a high pretty close to 60. Currently 49 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump still thinks he's a game show host at The Apprentice. Heard this great perspective about Tiffany not getting Trump's endorsement. If Josh Schumann feels like he's got to take some shots at Tiffany, which might weaken him, but it makes him look better to Trump to maybe get the endorsement, this is what Trump likes. He doesn't have any incentive to endorse Tiffany as long as he can keep playing him and Schumann off each other.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers and the Trump tariffs. How are they faring? Will Westmoreland will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Mattenair on Air. Jane Mattenair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, joining us. Good morning, Shally. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Good morning. Just another Monday in paradise, right?
Right, exactly. We won't talk about the Badgers game. We'll pretend that never happened. And just talk about other things like data centers. We did talk about this a little bit last week, Shelley, after Microsoft pulled out its plan for a data center in the village of Caledonia. There was a lot of pushback from the community there.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you talk about this stuff and we've even talked about it a couple weeks ago. And, you know, to be honest, there wasn't a ton of news over the weekend outside of sports ball. So thought it was a good time to go a little more in depth into data centers because it is constantly generating headlines. So, yes, the Microsoft has pulled its plans for a data center in the village of Caledonia. I think I joined you 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And forecasted this public meeting in the village hall, which I went to and did indeed bring out many members of the community. We have some reporting up on our website from that. You know, it was so packed that the parking lot was overflowed. And I talked with the local police officer who was frustrated that people were parking in the staff parking lot because there was nowhere to park. And, you know, what was interesting about that meeting before the plan was pulled is that you did see a variety of folks from all backgrounds or kind of political walks of life, strange bedfellows almost, coming out to voice their opposition. I saw in the parking lot as they're inside, as folks were testifying against giving their opposition, you know, I saw someone from Hot Government and someone from the Party for Socialism and Liberation in dialogue in the Village of Caledonia parking lot. So, you know, I think it's interesting that this
is interesting.
Falling neatly along party lines. Microsoft.
I was just going to say, I don't know. Forgive me, and I'll look this up too, but Hot Government, is that a group that I don't know what that is?
Hot Government is a grassroots group in Racine County that has voiced election conspiracy election conspiracies in the past, yet I think If you, I had a long conversation with a gentleman who said he, I should say, wasn't there in his official capacity for hot government, but opposed the development project because opposed the data center because he said it would ruin the nature of the village of Caledonia. You know, that this was antithetical to the kind of rural way of life, and that it was big companies coming in to take over. I hope I answered your question.
No, you can
look them up.
No, I'll look them up. I mean, honestly, I assume that the way you describe the other group, I'm like, oh, hot government sounds like it's more on the conservative side. But honestly, that description, and we can talk about this another time, just kind of lends to the discussion that we can be differing on a lot of topics, but some of these discussion points we come together
we agree on.
So continue. Thank you for that clarification.
And I should say that HOT stands for Honest, Open, and Transparent Government.
Gotcha.
In that acronym. So
thank you.
That was established, I think, like 5 years ago. There's a lot to unpack there, but we won't get into it. Mm-hmm. So this plan has been pulled, right, in
yes.
the village of Caledonia. Microsoft later said, hey, we're not going to pursue it here. And I bring that up because the plan to the village board had been slated to meet on this tomorrow. So that's not going to happen. Microsoft does say, though, that they are still looking at a site in Racine County, and Microsoft is already constructing a data center in Mount Pleasant on the site of the former Foxconn site. I did drive around there too 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if either of you have ever driven around that area.
I have a good friend who lives pretty close to there. It's huge.
Yeah.
The footprint is enormous. Yeah.
I live a hop and skip away from there, and one day I was driving up to Racine and I just sort of drove around the area that I felt like I was allowed to be in, but it is gigantic, and that huge green orb and everything about it just feels very weird. But I mean, honestly, for me personally, and this is my personal take, I was happy to see someone coming in to use the land. But yeah, I mean, what did you see, Shali, when you drove around?
I saw a lot of new development, a lot of new roads that weren't entirely fully functioning yet. And some, you know, it kind of gives you a sense of how quickly not overnight, but how quickly some of this has sprung up, that, you know, some of the traffic lights aren't working. I also saw some interesting titles. What was it? I think there was Innovation Lane and, you know, just the your
Synergy
typical.
Avenue and
right.
Prosperity Road.
You get a sense for how vast this is, and you wonder what was there before, because I'm not from the area, but
it was,
you know,
It was farmland.
Yeah. And it, driving around as I was doing my loop de loops, I also, you know, saw, you know, if you go far enough, you're like, oh yeah, this is wilderness, right?
Yes.
There's a creek running through here. Mm-hmm. So it kind of just helped give me a sense of scale for how vast.
Yeah, it's massive. It is massive. We're talking about the Microsoft, what was originally the Foxconn and now the Microsoft site in Mount Pleasant. By the way, if you're just joining Matt and Air on Air, Shali Pittman, our news director, is our guest. She joins us on Mondays.
And I was just going to say, for the people listening to and what you're talking about, Shali, as far as what's there now and what used to be, is, you know, once you hit Racine County all the way down to Kenosha County, you see all of these buildings in various stages of construction. And that is all like within the past 5-6 years, and 10 years if you want to include the Amazon buildings. And it was all, to what you were saying, Shali, it was all farmland. It was just vast acres of land not being used by farmers, and it's being sold off little by little all the time, every time we see a new building. So yeah, it's interesting to see, but again, I'll go back. I am happy that it's at least being, if it can't be used for farmland anymore, so I'm just at least happy someone's using it.
When you attended this meeting, I'm curious how many people were concerned about water usage, because these data centers require an enormous amount of water in order to keep everything cool, is my understanding.
Yeah, the water usage is something I have, frankly, a trouble understanding. So residents I spoke with had a number of concerns with the plan: water usage, electricity costs, skepticism over jobs numbers. I was thinking, as you were talking, Greg, about the deindustrialization of Milwaukee and how, you know, how this development plays into it. But the folks I spoke with were skeptical that it would really bring so many jobs, at least permanent jobs. Mm-hmm. Noise and traffic, concern over kind of big corporations coming into town. The water issue is interesting because places like the Microsoft facility have pointed to a closed loop water system, right, wherein it
just circulates. It just circulates.
Right. Now, I'm still unclear because there have been conflicting messages on that. There are environmental groups who have estimated that these could use a lot more than those closed loop mm-hmm. systems would allow you to believe. And it's different for every kind of data center. Yeah. And same too with the energy usage, right? We've kind of had conflicting messages. There was an analysis from Clean Wisconsin that found that just two of these data centers, including the under development one in Mount Pleasant from Microsoft, would use enough energy to power nearly double the number of homes in Wisconsin. But again, it
varies.
These things are so vast,
right?
That tracking them is challenging.
But that is a concern, and certainly with energy costs mm-hmm. as well, because I have seen in some other areas of the country where they're talking about putting governors, getting people to agree with their power providers, that the power provider can use governors on their electricity for when the data center needs more, they can take it from your house.
Well, that's just, okay.
So this is an ongoing thing, and there's lots of unanswered questions around these. Yeah.
It is an ongoing thing. So later this week in Port Washington, there's another meeting on Thursday over a TIF district for the data center project there. Now, that's also faced strong opposition. And some of the folks who showed up in Caledonia were not Village of Caledonia residents, right? They are going to all these proposed data centers and voicing their opposition, mm-hmm. which I also thought was interesting. So that's already underway. That's with the Denver-based Vantage.
The Port Washington, that's a done deal, isn't it?
Right. That's happening.
It just seems like the opposition to this came kind of late.
Yeah, that's something that one of the folks from the Party for Socialism and Liberation brought up to me, is that this appeared to happen kind of quickly in Port Washington. And yes, it's a done deal. But in another instance in Menominee, a planned data center there isn't going through. The mayor released a memo, I think, at the end of September saying that mm-hmm. they're no longer interested in the project, this time from Balloonist LLC. And the mayor kind of cited concerns about the water usage. It would have been the fifth highest water user in the city, not the top. So, that's what's happening this week, and that's what's happened in the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, and as you said too, though, Shelley, it's building these data centers as far as providing jobs is one thing. Yes, you need construction workers in order to get this up and running. But once it's up and running, most of this stuff is automated mm-hmm. by design. So it will need many, many fewer people to run it than to build it.
Yeah.
That was pointed out to me from folks who were opposed. Tough to see it without putting eyes on how data centers work, right? Yeah. I should point out that Wisconsin already has about just under four dozen data centers. Most of them are in southeastern Wisconsin. According to one site that it's called the Data Center Map. I don't know much about it, but that seems to be what people are citing. There are 21 in Milwaukee, 5 in Kenosha and Racine. There are 11 in Madison. I didn't know that.
See, I think that's going to be a surprise to people to find out how many are already here. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue our discussion with Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday for the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. About an hour from now, we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Run for the Border, literally edition. So stay tuned for that. Right now, we are joined by Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman. We've been talking about the data centers that are popping up, in some cases in Wisconsin, others getting shot down, like the one in Mount Pleasant. When you sent us your show notes, Shally, before we got in the air here, again, I think people will be surprised by how many data centers are already in Wisconsin, because I didn't know that either.
Did you look at that map?
I didn't, but I was just looking at your show notes. I mean, again, 21 in Milwaukee, that's where are they?
Well, you know, I think some of them are smaller than kind of what we envision as
these big campuses.
Right. I can pull some up, but it's at datacentermap.com, and you can go ahead and look. I wanted to talk, though, more about why data centers might be attracted to Wisconsin right now, or why they might not be. In the last budget cycle, not the current one that we're currently in, but in the 2023-2025 biennial budget, there was a sales and use tax exemption created to attract data centers to Wisconsin. It assumed that the data centers that would be interested would be maybe like some of these on the map that are maybe a little bit smaller and not the giant ones like the Microsoft facility in Mount Pleasant. And there's reporting from the outlet The Center Square that finds that there's been $70 million in foregone sales tax in the first 2 years of this being implemented. A good amount of that coming from Microsoft. So there's that. Did you hear about this at the time during the budget last cycle?
That skipped right past me.
But am I surprised? Yep. No. Wah, wah.
It's why the budget process is so important to pay attention to. Agreed. And why it's there are infinite stories in the budget process. So anyway, I haven't seen this reported out widely. So about a week and a half ago, there was an assembly committee that had a public hearing on kind of a technical update to this sales and tax exemption for data centers from the last budget, right? It's Assembly Bill 245, and it's supported by groups like Metro Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, they don't like to be called WEDIC, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and the Wisconsin Utilities Association. It's also supported, though, by ARC Data Centers, LLC. And ARC Data Centers is a data center company, they said near Appleton, I think it's in Menasha, and their CEO testified during this public hearing. He explained how ARC Data Centers is a little bit different than your typical data center project, where they allow multiple customers kind of within the same building. And so what this technical amendment would do would allow a company like ARC Data Centers to qualify for some of these tax credits, because right now under the what's written, it doesn't allow you to qualify for those tax incentives if you have multiple tenants. I think they called it condominium style data centers, which is an interesting way to phrase it.
They're like data roomies.
Yeah, right. And speaking before this assembly committee, the CEO kind of talked about how they're not concerned. He was asked about concerns that have been voiced about data centers, and he said, "Look, you know, we generate the power on the property. There's a closed loop water supply." And he said the phrase, "All data centers are not equal," which I thought was interesting. Obviously, trying to distance himself, I think, from some of this other publicity. But he also spoke about why Wisconsin is competitive, as you know, we all depend on data centers in some way, I think. But why Wisconsin is a key market. The things that he mentioned, I haven't heard widely, which is that we're right in the center of the United States, which is helpful for companies on both the
East and West coasts.
Right, on both coasts. He spoke that he said there was not as much tornado activity or tornadic activity.
Tornadic.
I mean, we still have some tornadoes, but yeah, but maybe not quite as many as
where's this guy from?
Like, I don't know.
Kansas.
That's a good question. And then he also spoke about the fact that we are just attractive to places that want a disaster recovery strategy. So they want to back up the data somewhere, even if it's held somewhere else. Primarily, we're a good backup because Wisconsin is, all things being equal, relatively stable in terms of kind of climate. So I thought that was interesting, right? He also said, though, that Wisconsin would be just as good as neighboring states, except for this tax credit not applying evenly, and that their customers have gone to other states, including Illinois, Minnesota, and Texas. So, yeah, that's the update on that.
Shelley Pittman is Civic Media's news director. She joins us on Mondays to do a little news recap. Check out Civic Media today. Subscribe. It is fantastic. Thank you so much, Shelley. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
News coming up next. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. UNICEF Supply Division is now working to begin aid shipments to Gaza thanks to the peace deal. Workers at UNICEF's warehouse in Denmark packed medical kits and winter clothes into boxes. Senior Emergency Manager Emma Maspero said the UN Children's Aid Organization has thousands of truckloads of supplies ready for Gaza.
We need to be able to reach children all throughout Gaza. So we really are trusting it and hoping that all of the relevant and the main border posts will be opening for humanitarian cargo.
High winds, dangerous surf conditions, and excessive rainfall continue into Tuesday as a nor'easter turns up the East Coast. Many coastal areas started experiencing flooding and beach erosion Sunday. Providence, Rhode Island resident Emily Boardman.
My street likes to flood during the storm surges and during the during heavy rainstorms, so I've parked in a higher area.
This is ABC News. Job placement